From olderandwiser.com, it's the Baby Boomer News of the Week. I'm Susan Sikora.
And I'm Bob Bates. An Elkhart, Indiana couple is shocked that their 19-year-old son is being severely punished as a sex offender.
A new study on those annoying people who text while walking.
A newly discovered book by Dr. Seuss hits bookstores this week.
Plus modern-day air conditioning. Too much? Too cold? You decide. Today on the Baby Boomer News of the Week.
Well, this week our thoughts go out to Valerie Harper. As you may have heard, she was found unconscious this week backstage at a theater in Maine where she was performing. She was taken to the hospital, treated and released. But of course, since she's been struggling with brain cancer, this is not good news.
No, it's not. You know, she's a very positive person. I mean, I don't know a lot of people who would be dealing with the challenges she is physically and going on Dancing with the Stars and still maintaining
she's pretty amazing.
An active acting career as much as she can.
She's 75, struggling with cancer, and here she is performing in a stage play every night. So it's pretty amazing.
My heart goes out to her, but you know what? I'm rooting for her, praying for her, and expecting the best for Valerie.
Yes, fingers crossed for Valerie Harper
Absolutely.
This week. Also this week, a story that any parent with teenage kids will have an opinion about. Here it is. A 19-year-old boy from Elkhart, Indiana, got this new app on his phone called Who's Hot, Who's Not. I haven't heard of this app, but it's a dating app of some sort.
I hate to say this.
You probably use it all the time.
It's not for you, Bob.
Yeah. Anyway, this guy met a girl who told him she was 17. They ended up getting together. And, you know, the rest of the story, obviously, they ended up having sex. The bad news, of course, is the girl turned out to be 14 years old. The mom was looking for her, called the police, and the boy was arrested. Mm-hmm. So here's the problem. He's arrested. The judge gives him 90 days in jail, puts him on the sex offender registry for 25 years. 25 years till the year 2040. Yeah. He's not allowed to use a smartphone or a computer for the next 5 years. And he had to move out of his family's house because it was within 1,000 feet of a public park.
Not only that, but he's got, I think, two brothers under the age of 18. And those are also included in the age he cannot be around. So his parents supposedly, in one story I read, had to buy a house for him to live in.
They did have to buy a house up the street for him to live in. And the father has to mow the yard because the yard is too close to the park. So the kid can't even go out in the yard. And he can't be with his brothers who are under 18.
Under 18, right.
Unless there's adult supervision.
Well, you know what's interesting about this? First of all, he did say that he had asked when they were messaging, he asked how old she was. So, I mean, he did at least ask the proper question that should he be having
and
sex
in court,
at that age?
And in court, the girl and the mom apologized and said the girl lied. She got on this app, which, by the way, requires you to waive the fact that you're an adult. And she did.
And it said that the girl's mother had called the police that night because she thought her daughter was missing. And then 2 months later, the detectives showed up at the kid's job at a mechanic shop. And all of a sudden, you know, they're there for him for this.
So the bottom line really is that we can't be too lenient on people who have sex with a 14-year-old girl. I mean, it's as a country, we've got to really take this problem of sexual offenders seriously.
Surely.
It's got to be zero tolerance.
She lied about her age.
You know, and he looks, there's a picture of him here online. He looks like a kid. I got to feel a little bit sorry for him in that he was a computer student. He was going to Ivy Tech to study computer science. And he wanted to be a cybersecurity expert. That dream is gone because he cannot be on a computer for the next 5 years.
He's derailed here completely. I mean, his career, his schooling and everything. I mean, it's not that he can't come back, but it's going to be a much harder road.
Well, also we talk about this sexual offender registry is you think, well, you're not sending him to prison, you're just putting him on a registry. How bad can that be?
You know what, though?
But it's a pretty serious thing because anytime you go get a job, they're going to check.
Your reputation.
You won't be able to get a job until the year 2040.
And it's already hard, even if your nose is clean about everything. You know, if you have nothing on your record, if you have no marks against your name. So, yeah, it's a tragedy all the way around. I mean, the judge said he condemned what he called a culture of, quote, meet, hook up, have sex, sayonara,
so
totally
he was,
inappropriate.
Exactly.
Behavior.
So he was
so
really making a
judgment.
Yeah,
that's
he was
right.
judging and the system. He was
maybe it's not just judging the system, but he's judging the times he's in that are certainly different than when he was that age. And maybe he feels there's just too much of this. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. I'm putting my foot down.
Camel's back in front of him. So
exactly.
I don't know. I mean, it's a shame. I think it is like shooting a mouse with a cannon. It the crime is a little severe, to say the least. I don't think it should have been just gone unnoticed. I don't think everybody should have just let things go. If the girl was my daughter, I'd be punishing her for lying about her age and doing this anyway.
Girl and her mother testified on behalf of
right.
this kid in court.
And this kid, I'm sure he won't.
And despite that, the judge, yeah, it's kind of.
But you got to learn from your mistakes. But in the meantime, the punishment is there and he's got to serve it. I guess they're appealing and they're taking the parents are taking this as high as they can go. So
I think they're going to the Michigan Supreme Court.
Yes.
I think they have a court date on August
5th.
It'll
be interesting to watch and see what happens. We are still smarting from having allowed it to go unpunished in a commensurate way for a long time. And I think we're overreacting.
The pendulum is swinging.
And so
back.
The pendulum has to, you know, in the beginning, when the pendulum swings, it's one way and then it's the other. And then eventually it balances out in the middle.
Another interesting item in the news this week, billionaire philanthropist David Rockefeller has undergone his, get this, I'm going to say sixth heart transplant in 38 years. This guy has had six heart transplants. He's 99 years old.
Mm. And he had it at his, it says they did it at his home.
This is what you can do if you've got all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. You can hire your doctors and you can have them come to your house.
Bank account health.
And they'll change out your heart for you.
Yeah.
You
a lot
for the
of people
sixth
would
time.
Say, hey, how come? I mean, yeah, he's got the money. He can do it. My question would be from whom did he get the heart? And is there anybody who missed out and is on a waiting list because he got the one that was put in him for the sixth time?
At some level, you've got to just say, whoa, this guy is Superman because he has he just keeps ticking. He's not going down at 99. It seems like he is doing whatever he can to keep going. He may live to be 150 if you can keep changing out parts. He's a philanthropist. He's given millions and millions and millions of dollars to good causes. What?
Would you like to have six heart transplants?
It would be rough. It probably would be rough. And I'm not sure I would. He does.
Good night, Gracie.
Interesting quote. He says, every time I get a new heart, it's like a breath of life is swept across my body. I feel re-energized and alive. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of like, the super millionaires, billionaires who get the blood transfusions to feel better and the oxygen tanks and all that stuff, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, this is America. If you've got money, you can buy what you want. My question is somebody on a list and missed out on heart number one that they need to save their lives, regardless of age? Maybe it's even another 90-year-old, but maybe that 90-something-year-old didn't get a chance.
Yeah, I would love to know the answer to that.
Because this guy took it.
I would love to know how the hearts that have been transplanted into Mr. Rockefeller. Where did they come from?
Right. Yeah. Right. And did anyone miss out?
Did someone who was on the list miss out because he made a big donation to a hospital?
Well, if he's got
we're not saying that's what happened. We shouldn't even, but we just don't know. So
it's hard. You know, this all comes back to also the basic issue that we're all dealing with, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about it in the presidential race, is should money make the difference about who gets treated for disease and who lives and who doesn't, or who's bankrupt by health problems and who is not?
Yeah.
I mean, money, you know, if we're this wonderful country and we respect life, people should at least be able to access decent health. Should you have six heart transplants? To my way of thinking, no, but, you know, I'm not the one that makes his decisions.
That's right. Well, if you grew up in the 60s, you're going to certainly love Dr. Seuss. And you remember the books like Cat in the Hat and One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
My brother had them.
I remember them well as a kid, mm-hmm. and of course we had them all, the whole series, for our kids as they were growing up. An amazing find occurred recently. The wife of Dr. Seuss, who is, by the way, his real name is Theodore Geisel, mm-hmm. she found a manuscript with drawings from a book that was never published, and it is called What Pet Should I Get? We wondered, why was it never published?
Well, Audrey, the widow, said that she thinks, because she wasn't married to him at the time he wrote it, but she said she thinks he simply forgot about it in a flurry of projects. I mean, I can't imagine having a great book that you just kind of, it's interesting. This is the second time this summer that somebody's had a great book just kind of sitting around, not published yet. Harper Lee, you know, mm-hmm. has her new book out, and she's,
sure. But did they forget about it, or did they decide not to publish it? I think even with the case of Harper Lee, don't you think she maybe decided this wasn't something that should go out there?
Yeah, I think there was more decision making in that, because of course the main character was portrayed in mm-hmm. a more of a racist way mm-hmm. than he was in To Kill a Mockingbird, which was a little more right on for the times. Mm-hmm. But with this book, with the Dr. Seuss book, you know, who knows?
In this article from the New York Times, they describe Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss, as being very fastidious about his work, and that while it seems like he could knock one of these silly little books out, you know, in a couple of months, he would work on them much, much longer and mm-hmm. and go through like a 500 pages for a 64-page book. He would edit and change and change and change. This particular story, What Pet Should I Get, was about the two characters, the little brother and sister, and they went to a pet store to pick a pet. Well, if you remember One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, it's about discovering weird new animals, and it's very similar in tone and in theme to What Pet Should I Get. So I'm thinking he said, too repetitive, I'm just going to put this away.
Well, it's interesting because people who have such prolific qualities and brilliance and are able to do this. I mean, these books are not only great, good little stories and engage kids, and the drawings are wonderful, but they're written in verse, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that they said about him, which I find interesting, because having taught high school speech many years ago, was they said in the piece, he made reading aloud something parents, too, could reliably enjoy. And I wonder how much of that is being done today. So maybe Dr. Seuss is keeping that element of parenting alive. And if that's the case, I applaud any book we can find of his, the old ones, the new ones, whatever comes out, if they find anything
well,
more.
Well, Dr. Seuss, certainly those books were the best for reading aloud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think reading aloud to kids is just an irreplaceable thing. I used to tell kids in my speech classes in high school, when you are parents, read to your children and start early as you possibly can, as early as they will sit still for a story that's appropriate for their age.
Well, you might like that, but you don't like this next thing, I don't think, Susan.
Which is?
Here's the headline. People who text while walking are annoying as hell.
Oh, please. Don't get me started.
Well, apparently they did a study. So with 30 participants, I guess you can call that a study, ages 18 to 50, and they asked these people to complete three routines. Walking normally through an obstacle course, then walking while texting, and then walking while texting and answering math problems. The idea was, are you going to trip while you're doing this? Surprisingly, texting didn't result in more tripping, apparently. No. They didn't see a lot of increase in bumping into things.
Didn't eliminate them veering from side to side.
They veer, but, you know, how bad is that? I mean,
it's bad if everybody's doing it and you're just somebody actually walking down a street. You know, I hear from friends who live on the East Coast and in New York City. I have a friend of mine who goes to New York City quite often, and she said, people are walking into, I don't know, anything in the street. You're walking to other people.
Yeah, there have been reports of people around the world falling onto train tracks and getting hit by cars.
About you, yeah. When you're in public, and if you're texting, you're not walking. You're not watching where you're going. You're not watching for a bump or a crack or a pothole in the street. You're not watching for someone else coming at you.
This must be a real problem for people in major metropolitan areas like New York City, for example. Here
they
in Los Angeles, we have big wide sidewalks, and you know it's not so much of a problem. But in New York, where you're walking with big mobs of people, texting and walking could really be annoying.
It should be illegal in the subway because you could stumble onto a train track or you get hit by a car. Car's not going to expect that. Cars expect you to at least know that they're coming. If you want to text, fine. Go sit on a park bench or stop or go into a store or someplace or go to a coffee shop, sit down and do your texting. And then when you're finished, go on with your with where you're going.
This has you all riled up.
Oh, it just because it's stupid. It's just stupid. And people go, oh, it's the way it is. You must be, you know, I don't text. But if I did text.
That's right. There you go. You're being critical and you don't even have a smartphone. It's a little bit of a fear of technology.
No, it's not fear. I am not afraid of technology. It doesn't bother me, but I still believe in
one thing. You just don't love it.
No, it's not that I love it or hate it. It's a thing to use. Mm-hmm. It is a thing to use.
You know, you're on a rant today.
I'm on a rant.
And we're just about to make it worse by going on to our next topic. And I feel like you maybe need to take a sip from your glass of wine or something before we go further. It's really an editorial from the Daily Beast. Uh-huh. Michael Tomasky writes this headline: air conditioning, threat or menace, an overheated argument. And Michael says that wherever he goes in the summertime, there's air conditioning. He goes in and out of buildings, and he needs to have a cardigan sweater with him at all times because people run the air conditioning up too much in office buildings. He goes into a movie theater or an office building, and the air conditioning is set at 65 degrees, and it's just too cold. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think a lot of times it is. I've gone into movie theaters. Movie theaters, I think, are the worst. I mean, you can go in and out of a store if it's too cold or other places. But if you've paid the money to go see a movie, I mean, you can walk out and get your money back. But you look around and you go, is it snowing in here or what? I'm telling you, sometimes it's too cold.
Yeah.
I see, you know, I look on.
My wife always takes a sweater with her to the movies, just in case.
Absolutely, so do I.
In the
summertime. I keep one in the car just in case. And I think, I better take this in. And, you know, if it's 90 degrees out, I hate even dragging it into the theater. That's how lazy I am, but it's too hot to carry.
I will admit I like it cold. I feel that it feels refreshing.
I like it
to go into a nice cold place on a hot day.
When I'm sleeping, I like it. When I'm sleeping, I like it, but I don't put the air conditioner on at night. I don't need to.
Well, you live in Northern California.
That's right.
You have the perfect climate year round.
And you know what? That's part of why I live here and why I wouldn't want to move to someplace else that is, you know, with the humidity and the heat.
I like having a comforter on the bed at night. I like to be under a comforter. Mm-hmm. And so in Southern California in the summertime, it does require you to have the air conditioning on kind of low in order to be able to feel real cozy under the comforter.
Now, wait a minute. If you did not have the air conditioner on, how would it be?
I would have
cool
to be under
to
a sheet or something, I suppose. Yeah. I like the weight of the comforter.
Okay,
I think it's
now here's the bigger question, though. What's this doing to the atmosphere?
Terrible. It's terrible. And our electric bill is
so
terrible.
You have to,
I need to change my behavior.
You need to get rid of the comforter for the summer, use the sheet, and shut the air conditioning.
They say 78 is where you should keep the thermostat if you're in a warm place. 78, even 80. That's muggy to me. I have a hard time with that. But I'm one of those people who needs to change his ways. That's for sure.
Well, you know, and everybody's got a different comfort level, I think. Although generally, again, there's probably going to be a middle range that is, you know, cool enough for you and warm enough for other people.
Do we want to be warmer as we get older? I think that older people are more sensitive to cold. And you need a sweater
really
more
people,
than younger
sure.
people. Yeah.
But when you're in your 50s and 60s, you know, it's going to go up and down.
What about hot flashes?
Hot flashes can play a part. Hot flashes usually, now, I don't know, I'm speaking from personal opinion, too much information. But when I get one, it's, you know, it lasts for, you know, a couple of minutes or something, and then
some
it's over.
Some people have them a lot. We have a friend who visits frequently, and she gets them a lot and she has like a little necklace made of ice cubes that she puts around her neck.
Really?
And we usually try to keep the AC low when she's around.
You know, what did we do before air conditioning, right?
Well, Michael in this article says this one thing that we really have to take sort of seriously, and that is we in America have used more air conditioning than the rest of the world combined.
Surprise,
So in all other countries, add up all their air conditioning, it doesn't come close to what we use here in America. So we just like it too cold, I think.
I think, you know, he said in the piece, he says, we're piggy, self-indulgent, sybaritic, fat, know-nothing consequence. Only people on the planet who insist on this foul business, and it stands to reason because these are the kinds of things we tend to lead the world in these days. And unfortunately, because how many, this is what I love, how many different ways can we stuff pizza crusts? How much junk we throw out, and how much can we waste on totally unnecessary and indeed quite harmfully excessive air conditioning? You know.
Yeah, yeah. You're very lucky living in Marin County because you just
the fog comes in. Yeah. And I always said for a long time I did not have air conditioning. We were in a house that we were renting at one point, and I eventually broke down and got one because I noticed we were getting more hot days.
Oh yeah.
And that and it might have coincided with menopause, I have to say, and here come the hot flashes. So those two things happening, you know what? You can deal
it's
with
good to have
those.
An air conditioner. I lived in San Francisco for a number of years, and there were days when it was warm. It was warm, but nothing like here in LA.
Your electric, and they take, you have to maintain them and you have to get them looked at. And none of this is cheap. It's not the most expensive bill you'll ever get. If you don't have an air conditioner, you can go out to a movie and sit in air conditioning for a couple of hours, take a sweater.
Remember, they used to do that in the old days. They used to put air conditioned on the signs of movie theaters.
That's right. It was a big deal.
Because people would go to the movies just to be in the air conditioning.
It was a luxury item, basically. Yeah. And you went to those places to cool off. You didn't think about getting one. Anybody who had air conditioning in their home, certainly even central air conditioning, oh my gosh, was considered rich.
Yeah.
You thought, ooh, they must have money. They've got air conditioning.
Exactly, exactly. Now we all have it and we can't live without it. Our bodies have become accustomed to this 72 degrees at all times, and if it's a little bit off, we can't manage it. Are you wearing a sweater right now?
No, but okay. I don't have air conditioning on.
Okay.
Just but see, I'll close blinds, I'll close windows to keep the heat out on a really hot day. Yeah. I mean, why not do the things that are low tech? See,
that makes
this
sense.
Is the problem. We're forgetting the low tech things that will actually save not only the planet, but save some money.
Okay, low tech is the word for the week, so we're going to try some new stuff. Susan, thanks for being with us this week, and we'll see you next week on Baby Boomer News of the Week.